Hey, everybody, welcome to the Aligned Love Podcast. This is the place where I am going to help you find the one thing that you feel is missing, healthy love. I am your host, Lauren Zoller, and in this podcast, I will share with you how to attract love, live in alignment, and elevate your deepest relationships. So buckle up, get present, tune into your body, and open up to the possibility that you truly do get to have it all. Let's dive in.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Align Love Podcast. This is going to be a very special episode today. So if you have been following me on socials, you know that I have been in a whole mess of transition over the past couple of weeks. And so I wanted to do a podcast episode about it, but I also wanted to do it in a really conscious way that was more of a conversation, so we could really dig deep into what's been going on. And so I have actually invited my other half, Jess Bonini, to have a conversation with me about navigating heartbreak and also talk about what has been going on over the past couple of weeks. In case you have not been clued in, Sean and I decided to go our separate ways. And so we're going to have a really raw conversation about all of it today. And I thought to myself, who better to have on the podcast to talk to me about it than Jess, because she lives in my world. If you've been in any of our programs, Jess is my right-hand person. She is the person that you go to for literally everything. She keeps me on track, and she knows me better than most people in my life. And so I'm excited to have her here. We're going to have a conversation about what the heck has been going on over the past couple of weeks. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so excited to be here and just be here for this episode, because I know it's going to be such a great conversation, and I'm just excited to hold you through it.
Yay. Well, usually I am the one that asks the questions on this podcast. We're going to flip the roles a little bit this time, because Jess and I had a conversation yesterday, and to be transparent, I was planning on doing this as a solo episode. And I thought to myself, you know, there are probably questions that other people have that I wouldn't necessarily answer because I wouldn't think of them. And so I have somewhat spoken to Jess about the questions we're going to go over, but not really. So this is going to be brand new. So I'm just going to hand the mic over to you, because I'm not the one asking the questions today.
Amazing. So obviously, to keep with the flow of the Align Love podcast, I know that you always love to start the podcast with an intention. So as we go into this conversation, do you have an intention for the people that are listening as we go down this road of navigating heartbreak?
I would say that my intention for this conversation would be probably a sense of curiosity, and curiosity to lean into understanding that not all relationships are meant to last forever. And every relationship, no matter where you are in your journey, whether you're dating, you are married, you're in a relationship, you're constantly evolving and growing. And so having curiosity around that growth cycle, regardless of where you are, is something I've had to lean into, because it's really easy to wall up and to armor up and to get pissed and to get really sad, but not lean into curiosity around, okay, wait a second, what happened here? Could something different have happened? What does this mean about me? Right. So it's just like, it's leaning into that curiosity, and hopefully you have a moment as you listen to this that sparks something inside of you that you can ask yourself a deeper question about what's going on.
I love that. I love that. Curiosity is one of our favorite words. I feel like we live by that word. And it is true. I feel like every relationship that we're in, regardless if it's romantic or platonic, anything, when there's a rupture, it's always a learning. Mm-hmm. There's always something, whether it's learning about ourselves, our belief system, anything. So I'm really excited to hold that through this conversation too. But I guess, I mean, the best place to start would be, tell us what's happening in your world right now and about the big transition if you're open to sharing about the reason that you and Sean are parting ways and how you kind of came to that conclusion and how it brought you here.
Yeah. So I'm in massive transition. If you're watching this and not listening to it, you'll see I am not in my normal white, bright light space. I'm actually back in Nashville at Soho House in a room, just getting by, right? Because it's, for those of you who don't know, I packed up all of my things last week and drove 18 hours across the country to come back to Nashville. So I am here. And I'll say this before I even get into what happened with Sean and I. There has been, what I've really been leaning into is how much resource is available to me that I kind of took for granted, or I didn't allow myself to really, I don't know, kind of lean into over the past couple of years. I mean, since I got back to Nashville, so many people have opened their homes and invited me over for food and sent me such kind, like beautiful, encouraging messages. And I mean, this situation I'm in right now, I called one of my clients yesterday and I was like, I have 2 podcast recordings tomorrow and I have nowhere to go. And he found me a spot here at Soho House. And so I'm here. I just feel very loved and I'm leaning into that resource. But Sean and I decided about 2 or 3 weeks ago that we just weren't compatible. And I think it's hard because I fought it. I fought it for a while. And even in the ending of that relationship, I know with clarity that Sean and I weren't meant to be together long-term. That is very clear. But what has been the hardest part about this relationship ending is mourning what it represented. Because I want a family and I want to be a wife so badly. I think that we both did, right? Like we both missed some really strong signs that we probably weren't in alignment from the get-go because we both wanted this dream for ourselves so badly. It was almost like we were kind of going through the motions and we both woke up and realized like even though we checkmarked every box on each other's list, there were some really deep fundamental value issues that we just weren't aligned on. And I think so many people will push past that and try to fit a square peg into a round hole. And I, ultimately it was slowly killing us both inside. And so we had to go our separate ways, not because we didn't love one another, but because if you would have brought children and marriage into the mix, we just didn't see eye to eye on a lot of things. So that's kind of the short, long story. There was a lot of crying fests and not so pretty moments in between, but ultimately it just wasn't what either one of us wanted in a partner long term.
Yeah. And I think it's really important. You said something that I think a lot of women especially start to experience, especially when we get into our 30s and we get to that like later part where our biological clock is like, come on, it's time. And they experience this like, okay, this person is a great person. They're good. They're everything that I think I want. There's just these couple things, but I really want to be a wife and I want to be a mom and I want that. I think I can work past it. I think we do that a lot in relationships. Like we see the potential and then we go forward. So I'm curious how you came. I know you said you fought it, but what was like the thing that was like, okay, I realize that I want this really badly, but it's not the right one.
Well, I'll tell you, I don't know if there was necessarily one moment in particular, but if I get really honest with myself, like truly deeply honest, I lost myself in this relationship. And here I am being like, okay, I've done so much of this work. Like how many people do we lead through this journey of claiming your voice and owning your truth? And yet here I was in this picture perfect opportunity that I thought I had for myself. And I slowly started to shut down my voice and concede, because I really did think if I use my voice and I actually speak my truth, that he would reject me or he would not want me. Mm. And if I get really honest with myself, I was doing it a lot. Like, I did it from the moment that I decided to move to Denver. I sold my Tesla. I didn't want to sell my Tesla. Yeah. I wanted to see my Tesla, right? And I should have used my voice to say, no, I'm going to find a way to bring my Tesla out there. So it was, and I know that's a really small example, but there were so many moments in the relationship where I truly lost connection to my power, my truth, and my voice. Mm. And let me just say that wasn't not just fair for me. It wasn't fair for him, because he got a version of me that wasn't truly me in full authenticity and transparency. Right. And that was part of when the relationship was ending, that I took full responsibility for that. I was like, look, I have conceded in so many ways, and I'm not blaming that on you. I'm putting that on me, that I did not stay in my divinity enough to be able to use my voice and be like, no, I'm not going to sell my Tesla.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't want Lenny to be in his own little room at night, right? Like, there were all these, or, you know, no, I want new throw pillows on the couch. Like, I know this sounds goofy, but there were so many things that I didn't use my voice for, and I shut myself down. And how many of us as women do that?
Yeah. So many,
so many. And there was no one real moment other than there were tiny little moments that kept adding up. And I do remember about a month and a half ago waking up, and I just had this feeling of like deep sadness over me. And I sat in meditation and I had this visual of me being married 10 years from now. And this is so crazy. I was walking through the streets and there were all of these people that knew me. Like, my parents were passing me on the street. I saw you there, Kristen, like all my friends were passing me and nobody recognized me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, fuck. Like, I'm losing myself here. Like, I'm losing my connection to my voice and my truth. And I think that was like the little tiny seed that I was like, if I keep doing this, it's not going to be great. And then the universe does really crazy things. It was like, once that seed was planted, then everything just started to unfold and like unwind, and it just became this perfect storm. But there wasn't really one moment. It was several.
Yeah. And that makes sense, right? It's like one kind of that, I mean, the meditation vision, that's pretty strong, pretty clear, pretty clear. And I think that happens a lot in relationship. Even say if you are married, there might be some things that we do start to like shut down, because we're like made to protect ourselves. We feel safer if we're accepted by the other person. But I think that there comes a point where, like you had, where you were like, whoa, if I keep doing this, like, who am I even?
Yeah.
Who am I?
It's so scary. It's scary. It's like really scary to wake up to, because, you know, whether you're single and in a relationship or married, it's almost like you have this thing that you want, right? Whether you're married in a marriage or in a relationship, you have this thing that you feel you want so badly, but if you don't feel like you can truly be yourself and be fully accepted for who you are, you're not in relationship to anything,
mm-hmm.
nothing. Right. And that was a really big healing lesson that I had to learn in that partnership, because, you know, Sean's a good guy. It's not like he didn't cheat. He didn't do anything horrible. He didn't do anything vindictive. It was just, we couldn't be fully who we were mm-hmm. with one another. And it doesn't matter how many boxes someone checks, that's just the reality of what it is. And you have to kind of sit with that. It's not worth looking yourself over.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Cause I always say this to my clients too, is that you can only truly love someone else at the level you love yourself. Yeah. Because like you talk about, everything is your mirror. So if you've lost the love within yourself, it's not truly love that's coming out.
Yeah.
So that kind of brings me to my next question. Since you're in this whirlwind of moving back across the country, really navigating this new transition, how are you, I know you're feeling it all, you're really taking it in, but how are you navigating that? How are you saying, I'm going to stay connected to my body, even though sometimes what I'm feeling in here is not great, doesn't feel good, but how are you keeping that connection and really rebuilding the connection to yourself since you realized it was something that was kind of going by the wayside before?
I'll say this, two things. I have been in massive grief, and this is the first time that I've allowed myself to be there. Mm-hmm. Like fully be there, grieve it all, lean on support. Luckily, this whole breakup happened before a week-long trauma training in Chicago. So I was able to walk into a room with hundreds of, you know, trauma specialists and just be really held in that space as I was grieving and processing. So that's the first thing. It's like not just grieving, you know, because if you've been following me, you know, like I manifested Sean. Sean was everything on my dreams list. And there, I think this is a beautiful example of, you can get everything that's on your dreams list, but if both of you aren't committed to healing, that dream can slip away. Mm. And so, you know, there's been a lot of healing, allowing myself the space to like really grieve and process it and heal the parts of me that I let go in that relationship to make someone else happy. It's all a learning experience. There's so much I learned in that partnership. So that's the first thing. The second thing is leaning into support. And what I mean by that is like asking for and receiving help. You know, I called my best friend Lily I was like, I need you here. Right? She was on the next flight out of Nashville to Denver and then helped me drive 18 hours across the country. Same with my family. Like they drove from Kentucky to Denver to help me pack up my stuff. I had friends that I had met in Denver that showed up and they were like, come stay at our house. Let us cook you dinner. When I got to Nashville, I mean, it's been like, I've constantly been in this space of opening myself up to asking for, but also receiving a lot of help. And that's new to me because usually I'm the one that's helping everybody else all the time.
Yeah.
So that has been getting me through it. And then I would say maybe the third thing is just leaning into things that feel really, really good. And it's funny because when I left Nashville, I was so ready to get out. I was like, oh, but I had a home kind of like in the outskirts of the city and I was pretty like isolated out there. And now that I'm back, it's like, oh my gosh, Nashville feels like a new city. I can go out and see live music on a Tuesday and meet a friend for a yoga class. And there's just so much resource here. So I would say if you're navigating heartbreak, you have to lean into your support system. You have to choose that you're going to heal, because in every relationship ending, there's a part of you that needs support and love and healing. I don't care how the relationship ended. It takes two people. And then really asking for and receiving help and taking care of myself has been big.
Are you a high-achieving woman who is tired of swiping left and right, hoping to find the love of your life? Are you ready to break free from toxic relationships and finally create a deep, lasting connection with someone who truly aligns with your heart and soul? Well, I want to introduce you to the Align Love Collective, a transformative 6-month coaching container designed to help you find your soulmate without sacrificing your career or wasting any more time on the dating apps. In the Align Love Collective, you'll embark on a journey of self-discovery and personal growth. Our team of expert coaches and therapists will guide you through a proven process to discover the root of what's keeping you from finding your soulmate, understand how to get your nervous system in alignment with what you desire, then watch it all unfold as you implement the roadmap that will lead you straight into the arms of the one you love. But that's not all. When you join the Align Love Collective, you become a part of a supportive community of like-minded individuals, all on their own journeys to finding the love that aligns with their deepest desires. You'll receive ongoing support through live coaching sessions and exclusive resources to help you every step of the way. Plus, you'll gain access to guest experts to ensure that you have the tools that you need for success. Don't settle for anything less than the love you deserve. Join the Align Love Collective and discover the path to a healthy, lasting love. If you want to learn more, visit my website at www.laurenzoller.com/soulmate, S-O-U-L-M-A-T-E, to learn more. The Align Love Collective, where love and alignment go hand in hand.
I think that's really important because sometimes I know in my past relationships when they have either fallen apart or I decided to leave, it was something that I felt like I had to like hide. I'm like, No, I'm fine. Like, it's okay. I made the decision. I'm good. And I would do the thing that I would just dive into work or dive into something else, not necessarily something that felt supportive and resource and like good, but something that just took me away from everything that I was feeling. I feel like we see that a lot in the women that come into the collective. And so I love that you shared like really leaning and actually receiving the support from people, because the receiving part, I feel like, is the hard part.
It is. Well, and it's funny you say that, because, and here's where I want to take, and I told Sean this when the relationship ended, where I want to take radical responsibility for my part in this whole thing crumbling is that, you know, when I moved to Denver, and you know this because you were in it with me, like the business was struggling. We were struggling. We were on the struggle bus. What I did, which I'm sure most women who are listening to this will do if they're entrepreneurs, is I white knuckled it. I was like, we can't let this die. It can't die. Can't die. Can't die. And so I muscled it so hard that I was very in my masculine. And I wasn't able to really hold space for the relationship with Sean. And believe me, there were other factors other than just that, but that really led to him not feeling like he had a partner in that. And so I recognized that while I was in the partnership. And you're absolutely right. Lauren, in old relationships ending, would say, okay, not going to rely on a man or anyone for that matter. Got to throw myself back into work, because if I throw myself back into work, then I have significance. I have meaning. I'm worthy of being loved. That was my way of proving myself to anyone and everything. So this go around has been so different, because I realized that in essence, that pattern is the reason that it's what's keeping me from deep, healthy, connected partnership.
Yeah.
I had yesterday, one of my dear friends, Jeremy Newsom, he gave me an exercise and it was difficult for me. He said, I want to know what your perfect day looks like, and you can only work for 2 hours.
Ooh.
I know. And I was like, okay. So I got to, I'm going to wake up, meditate, go to yoga, have coffee. And then I was blank. I was like, meet a friend for a walk. And then he was like, okay, we're at like 9 o'clock. What are you going to do from 9 to 12? And then what are you going to do from 2 to 7? And I went on like 5 walks and a bath or something. And I was so hard for me. And he was like, Lauren, this is it. Like, this is why you don't know what to do with your free time.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's just so much that's unraveling for me now. Cause it's like, I'm here. I have space. I have time. I have support. And so the healing for me is being able to actually lean into that and say, you know what? I actually get to work less and have more ease so that I can have more abundance. And that's just a whole new learning and evolving that's happening.
Yeah. I mean, that's a whole new, it like breaks what we're all taught in general of like, in order to have more abundance, you have to do more, you have to work harder, you have to hustle. We're very much in a hustle culture. And so I love that you're bringing in a more feminine take on it. Like, actually, if I feel good and I take care of myself, we can actually work less because one, we're more efficient when we're rested.
Right.
And we feel good. And two, it's like leaving space for something to come in. So yeah. I love that you're taking that approach.
Yes. Well, you said it to me the other day and I was like, oh, so brilliant. Because y'all, I have like, I am as empty as it gets. When I moved to Denver, I rented out my house in my condo with all my stuff. So people are living in my house in my condo, fully furnished. I have no furniture. I have no home. I have nothing. Everything's in my car. Like all my belongings are not here with me. So I have a suitcase and I have me. And that is terrifying. Like old Lauren, who had her whole life plotted out, like, this is my house. This is my cat. This is where I travel. This is my perfect car. Like all of these things that I had that were so perfect, I don't have any of them anymore. Right. So it's like, and I was freaking out the other day, just like, and you said to me, you have so much space now for what you really want to come into your life. And it was like, oh, you're so right. Mm-hmm. You're so right. We're creating space. And I didn't even have that a year and a half ago when I moved to Denver.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so important. The space portion feels really scary because it's like this falling away. And we always talk about like staying rooted while everything falls apart around you. And you have now experienced the unraveling portion. And so now it's like you get to rebuild, you get to go wherever you want, you get to rebuild everything. Yeah. And I think that it's really fun. It's obviously a scary perspective. There's one side of it that's very scary. Then the other flip side of it is it's kind of exciting. Mm-hmm. It gets to be kind of exciting. And so that duality there, I think, is really important for people to remember of like, yeah, everything fell away and I'm empty, but I can bring a lot in.
Yeah. And I mean, we teach it in the Master Key. If you're in any of our programs, I have a whole lesson on this, that when you choose, and in essence, I chose a new identity when I was in the relationship with Sean. We chose a new identity for the business. I chose a new identity for what I wanted in partnership and to move forward with my life. And when I chose that new identity is when everything started to shift and everything started to fall apart. And again, we teach it in the Master Key. You have to stay rooted in your new identity, and your new identity is going to cause a death to your old identity. That has been you telling me that last week was like, duh, Lauren, like this is what we teach. This is what's happening. But when you're in it, it feels like, you know what I mean? Like, it feels like, oh, the world is ending and everything is falling away and I'm not going to survive. Like, am I ever going to crawl out of this tunnel? And that's when your trauma tools come in handy to keep in that space of feeling grounded. And so it's just, I'm grateful for all the work that we do because it's gotten me through this with ease.
And to be fair, like, I feel like you have to hit a certain point to even notice the option of things coming in. Like, in the beginning, it's not about, you're not like, oh yeah, I'm clearing space. This is scary. I don't like it. But I'm clearing, right? In the moment, you're drowning. And then it's either someone says it to you or you find a space where you feel safe enough to notice that you're then creating space. So I think if anyone's out there and you're like, wait, I don't notice, like I can't see that, it's okay. You might just not be there to notice it yet. And that's okay too.
Yeah. Well, and this is why, again, it's so important to have support. Mm-hmm. You know, because when I wasn't able to see the forest through the trees, my support team was like, yeah, but this is the forest. And it was like just holding on to that little bit of tetheredness to my people, to my community, to my support team. I was able to navigate all of the big emotions that I had and be in them and feel them fully because I knew that my support team had me and they were going to continue to remind me of that. So just really blessed.
Yeah. Yeah. And we all love being here for you. So we're always here. Always, always. So I know we talked a little bit about like what you would do, like leaning into support and really finding what feels good for you. But I know that there are some people that go through a breakup and all they want to do is watch rom-coms on Netflix and maybe eat a pint of ice cream and just kind of wallow. And I'm curious if you have like your best advice, if somebody is in that phase, they're in that point, what would be like maybe one or two things that you would suggest to them to help get them out?
So I know this sounds so, what's the word I'm looking for? Like so rudimentary maybe, or like elementary, but there is so much power in going outside and walking and moving your body. Because when we look at it, I'm going to geek out for a second, because if we look at this from a nervous system perspective, when someone is wallowing or when someone is completely shut down or wanting to like sit and binge on a pint of ice cream and just watch rom-coms, the nervous system is in freeze, which means it actually doesn't feel safe to move, to get out. But the best thing that we can do when we're in that space of freeze is start to bring some what we call sympathetic charge on board so that the nervous system can come back to safety. So the best way to get sympathetic charge on board is to move your body. And that may feel overwhelming to go, let's say, I'm not going to sit here and say, go to a workout class, go to a yoga class, like go move your body. But if you can just put some shoes on and put some sunglasses on and put a hat on and go outside and walk around your house 5 times, you're going to feel different. You're going to start to bring some of that sympathetic charge on board so that your nervous system can start to have that capacity to get to safety. And I get it. It's like way easier to want to just sit and wallow and not do anything and not move. But we have to get the nervous system out of that freeze state. Because if you continue to stay there, you're going to stay stuck. Mm-hmm. So I would say that's the first thing, like just get out and move your body. Second thing, call on someone, anyone, even if you go to the coffee shop and have interaction with the barista, just have some sort of human connection. So you can remind yourself, you know, this horrible thing happened. It's bad, but there are billions of people in the world and human connection is why we're all here. And so sometimes just that little bit of interaction with a human can be enough to pull you out of that freeze state and get you to a place where you feel like you can start to process what's going on.
Yeah. I think that's really great advice. I am a walker as well to process. Walking helps me, like, for some reason, walking gives me so much clarity, so much clarity. Sometimes the walks are really long. Sometimes they're not. But I love the second point of just going out and getting a little bit of interaction. Even if you don't call on a friend, you don't want to talk about what's going on, but just even making eye contact with another human who might be having a better day than you are at the time can help lift you as well. So I love that advice.
Yeah. And if it feels too scary to leave your house, like go look for online support groups, right? Join. There's so many things online now. Go join like a book club that meets online and just sit there. Like just let people hold space for you. Mm-hmm. Even if you're so great at holding space. So great. Like you can just sit in a book club and not say a word and people will probably be fine with it. You know, but just be able to have that sense of interaction is going to help you remind you that there's other people in the world and we're here for connection. We're here for love. And if that feels really scary, you need to reach out for professional support because we need to get you out of that space of feeling like connection is scary.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And I think that's really important. Like when noticing when it's not just a moment in time that you don't want to connect, but it's maybe anything feels like it brings on the anxiety or it brings on this like, oh, I don't want to, or like, then we definitely need to go forward. We see that a lot in the work that we do inside of the collective. So I know we're coming up to time here. So I have a big question, and this is a question that you always ask your guests, but I'm curious, you always ask what an aligned relationship is to you. And I'm curious now with this new learning and this new experience, has your definition changed?
Yeah, it has. It really has. I would say that an aligned relationship to me is a relationship where, yes, your values are met. Yes, your non-negotiables are met. But more importantly, that both partners are committed to healing. Mm. Now, my old definition was that both partners are committed to growth. And I have learned in this entire situation that growth and healing are two totally separate things. Mm-hmm. And naturally, if you heal, you will grow. But there are a lot of people in the world who will invest in coaches and invest in personal development. They'll go to Tony Robbins events and Joe Dispenza events and spend all of this money getting poured into, but they haven't done the deep healing work to sustain a relationship. Mm-hmm. I don't care who you are. Every person needs to do the healing work. They need to do the inner child work. They need to do the work of loving themselves and coming home to themselves. And it's a lifelong journey. So an aligned relationship to me is, yes, someone that meets your non-negotiables, values, and morals, but also someone who is committed to healing, a lifelong commitment to healing, because relationships are hard.
Yes.
They're hard. And if you're not committed to that, and you're not committed to the relationship more than yourself, the relationship will crumble. There won't be any sort of foundation for either one of you to stand on.
I love it. It's just like an addendum. It's a new addendum to the old definition.
Yeah, which
is beautiful, because like healing, it is a lifelong job. It never really stops, because there's so many layers to everything we've experienced. Anything that was significant emotionally or a past trauma, like you can work through one layer. And then when you get into relationship with someone, another layer may pop up, and we just have to be open to it. And I think it's really important to have a partner, one that can hold you in your healing and is committed to their own healing as well.
Yeah, it's big. I will never date someone ever again who doesn't want to go to therapy, right? Or, you know, go to therapy together, go to therapy separate. That was a big point of contention in our relationship, was that, you know, Sean did not believe in therapy before marriage. You absolutely should go to therapy before marriage. Absolutely, before you enter into that with someone. And so it's so important that you both are on that page. Again, that's different than growth. It's different than personal growth. And so that's just a really big differentiation that I think, you know, I learned a lot in that experience. And so I'm grateful for it. And not every relationship is meant to last forever.
Yeah. Yeah. Even if it is aligned, like that's something we've talked about plenty of times. Like something can be very aligned. And as you expand and grow, it's one of those things, either the relationship will come to meet you at your new level, or it's going to fall apart so that something that's better on the same frequency as you will come in.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. And this is what we teach. And this is with everything, right? I know I talked about a few weeks ago, our expansion program that you and I are getting ready to birth into the world, into the world. But it's a year-long container with us where we are actually teaching women how to have the relationship to healing and growing so that they can have the things that they desire. And what happens in that process is that things fall apart when you create a new level of purpose and mission for yourself. Mm-hmm. What was there before had to fall apart. When you claim a new relationship, like what the standards for what you want in a relationship, if you're in one, the old version of that relationship has to die. And if one person isn't willing to step into the new version of that relationship with you, it crumbles. Mm-hmm. Same with your health. It's like, if you choose that you want to be a healthier human being, there are things that you're doing in your identity that have to fall away because they serve you in that new space. So it's like, being able to be held in that container as you claim a new version for yourself, that's what we wanted to create with the expansion program. You know, like we're helping you in health, wealth, relationships, and purpose. Like, how do we claim that new version of you and also be the support mechanism when all the shit starts to hit the fan so that you can have it all. And yeah. I think, you know, most women don't have that. They don't have access to that.
Well, and to have it all and actually keep it.
Yes.
A lot of people are really great at calling something in, but there's, I think that's what growth can help you do. Growth can help you call something in, but can you hold it? Can you keep it? And that's where all of the stuff that we go over with the actual healing work, the deep somatic healing work, it helps you be able to keep and know you're worthy of what you just called in.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's big. And it doesn't mean what people think it means, right? Because holding on means you never lose connection to you. Mm-hmm. That never wavers. And gosh, up until probably 4 or 5 years ago, I didn't know that. You know, everything caused me to lose myself. So I'm excited. I'm just really excited about our expansion program. We'll have more details about it coming in the next week or so. We already have four women. People.
Yeah.
Who have said yes to it. And so we're excited to fill the rest of the spots once we announce it live, but it's going to be really fun.
Yeah, it's going to be great. And I can't wait. I can't wait.
Yay. Well, thanks for interviewing me today.
Of course. It was fun. This was my first ever podcast interview.
Love it. So perfect. Well, I loved having you here, Jess. For everybody that's listening, make sure that you tune in next week because I'm going to be talking to a really wonderful guest that you're going to want to hear from. We have so many incredible guests lined up for the podcast this year. I'm so excited. And we're kicking it off next week with another expert interview. So I will see you guys next week. Jess, thank you again.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
That wraps up today's episode of the Aligned Love Podcast. One thing that would really help me and the other new potential listeners is for you to rate this show and leave a comment wherever you tune in and listen. Also, make sure to link up with me on Instagram at Lauren Zoller, and please share this podcast with anyone who you think may enjoy it. Until next episode, remember, every transformation begins with one moment of awareness, and I hope today has been yours. I'll see you next time.